Welcome to Freedom to Choose with Rich and Susan Collenberg. Freedom to Choose is brought to you by Just As I Am Ministries, a nonprofit that gives hope and help to those lost in addiction. Rich and Susan are a husband and wife team who found grace and freedom from 20 years of addiction to drugs and alcohol. They broke free from their bondage 15 years ago and are here to share their experience of God's power and recovery. God can change lives. Now, here's Rich and Susan with Freedom to Choose.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is Rich Collenberg.
And my name is Susan Collenberg.
Susan, what will we talk about today?
Today we are going to talk about personality.
Personality, okay. Yes. And, and changes maybe?
Changes.
Changes in personality. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll ask the question, do drugs change a person's mm-hmm. personality? Mm-hmm. As we've studied on previous programs, what we think is extremely important, isn't it?
Yes.
In fact, Proverbs 23:7 tells us what a man thinks is what he really is.
That's right. So we need to have right thoughts, and if we have the right thoughts, then we're going to have right choices. And right choices lead to right actions lead to right habits, and right habits form a right character.
All right, that's very good advice. Now, before we get going, Susan, let's have a word of prayer.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you have given us brains to think and to make choices. And right now, we just pray that you will help us to understand the mechanisms that are put together and in order for those actions to happen. And we hope that you will help us to have the right thoughts. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I was thinking, as you know, sometimes I do, what does character have to do with personality?
Now, you asked me this question earlier, and I said, I tried to answer it. I'm like, I don't know what kind of an answer you're looking
here's
for.
Let's ask another question. Maybe we set it up then. Can a person be real fun and outgoing and yet be dishonest?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Dr. Alex Lickerman, former director of primary care at the University of Chicago, puts it this way. Personality is easy to read, and we're all experts at it. We judge people funny, extroverted, energetic, optimistic, confident, or as well as overly serious, lazy, negative, and shy.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
But character, on the other hand, takes longer to figure out. It includes traits that reveal themselves only in specific and often uncommon circumstances. Traits like honesty, virtue, kindliness. Ironically, research has shown that personality traits are determined largely by heredity. The arguably more important traits of character, on the other hand, are more malleable, though we should note, not without great effort.
Okay.
Character traits are opposed to personality traits are based on beliefs. In other words, things like honesty, treating each other well. That's whether that's important or not. And that's how your character is revealed. And though beliefs can be changed, it's harder than most people think. Another person, biological anthropologist Helen Fisher, in the book This Will Make You Smarter, New Scientific Concepts to Improve Your Thinking, says this. Your character traits stem from your experiences. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your childhood games, your family's interests and values, how people in your community express love and hate, what relatives and friends regard as courteous or perilous, how those around you worship, what they sing, when they laugh, how they make a living, how they relax. In other words, cultural forces, many of them, build your unique set of character traits. Now, with that being said, we ask the question, so you mean to tell me that what we surround ourselves with can actually form our character?
Sure.
Can. Mm-hmm. Can't it?
Mm-hmm.
See, now, I know for myself, there are certain programs that I listen to or that I watch on television, and I won't tell you what kind of programs they are, but I get so worked up and angry by the time the program is over that it has actually changed me. at least for a small amount of time, I hope.
But we watch the program together, and I don't think it makes me angry and upset that maybe it's hidden.
I don't know. Well, I'm sure that's why the Bible says this.
It says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things."
See, so God is telling us to surround yourself with good things.
Right.
It's important.
Correct.
And to not look on evil things or bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's telling us that for a reason. I think he gives good advice. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to read a story here that I came across. And so I'm going to read it in second person, I guess. Is that what you call it? Okay. Mm-hmm. "A few months ago, I started going out with someone who seemed perfect. Funny, considerate, loving, etc. However, after 5 weeks of bliss, he went home on leave. He's in the army. And he came back a changed person. He's incredibly moody, depressed, selfish, unreasonable. He's just become a complete monster. Before joining the army, he used to take a lot of cocaine, and I thought, stupidly, being in the army would have stopped him from doing this, but apparently he did it a few times while he was on leave. Even if he only did it a few times, would that be enough to change his personality to such a huge extent? I'm so sad that someone who seemed so lovely has become so horrible. But if it isn't the coke which has made him like this, maybe it's me." Now, do you find that kind of a interesting reaction? Because now this girl is thinking, if it's not the drugs, maybe it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's confused.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is?
Oh, it's definitely the drugs.
Definitely the drugs. It's not her.
No.
But it's interesting that can make us question our own selves, that people start acting weird when they're on drugs, and we start questioning our own behavior and thinking that, you know, there's something wrong with us.
Right.
And I feel really sorry for this girl.
Right. Well, today we're going to be talking about how drugs can change the personality and character. But we will also talk about how behaviors and your reactions to things can also change the chemicals in your brain, which can also change your character. Because we've learned that it's, you know, drugs is just kind of a symptom of the whole piece of the pie. And a lot of us are out there right now that aren't doing drugs, but we're still being changed in our characters. They're still being formed one way or another.
Yes.
So it's not just drugs that will change the brain, but what we are going to study today is an amplification of what can happen when situations get out of control by using drug research.
As drug dependency begins to take a physical hold on a dependent individual, personality changes can occur. Illegal drugs begin to affect brain function, including the areas regulating cognition and mood, by altering chemical messengers in the brain known as neurotransmitters. Now, today, when we say the word neurotransmitter, all we're talking about is a chemical messenger. It's kind of like sound waves. My mouth sends, Susan's ear receives.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. And the sound waves are the transmitters. Okay? This is how the brain communicates to itself, because that's what the brain does. It communicates to itself all the time.
So our question is, can drugs change a person's personality? While some illegal drugs create specific and predictable altercations in personality, others can initiate erratic behavior and moods uncharacteristic of the person behind the addiction.
Now, because of the nature of chemical dependency, certain predictable chemical changes occur when various drugs interact with the brain. As dependency progresses, personality changes become more marked. Now, tragically, this takes users away from their truest selves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at a few of the stereotypical personality changes that occur when specific drugs are used. Let's look at cocaine.
As a stimulant, cocaine tends to incite irritable, edgy behavior. Users become forgetful, secretive, and dishonest. Depression can alternate with aggression, leading to rapid mood swings. Users can act manic and arrogant when high, and depressed and lethargic when withdrawal sets in.
Okay, and I want you to notice some of the similarities as we go through these certain drugs. Now, we're going to go through these for a reason, because these symptoms, you notice mood swing, depression, aggression, and all these things that people do when they're on the drug.
Or when the drug is
Drug is taken away. And these are personality changes. Now, let's look at meth, okay? And I want you to notice some of the similar aspects of these things. Over time, methamphetamine dependency can drastically change a person's personality. Users become aggressive, impulsive, and selfish. Anxiety and agitation alternates with avoidance and depression. There's that word depression again. Meth users develop antisocial personality traits, showing little empathy and callous behavior. Now, the words that stuck out there for me were selfish, okay, and depression. Selfishness and depression, does that have anything to do with me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What about marijuana?
Marijuana-dependent individuals become lethargic and self-satisfied during dependency. They become easily amused with short-term memory problems that create situations marked by irresponsible behavior. Marijuana users will often seem less mentally sharp than usual and experience bouts of mild depression during long-term use.
There's that word depression again.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like the brain gets tuned into this artificial substance, and then once it's taken away, it doesn't know what to do, so it just drops, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? As we look here closer, I want to read another story, and then we'll look real closely at what the drugs actually do inside the brain. We're not going to get too scientific, but we're going to look at this. So let's look at another story here first. Because this is another sad story, but we hear stories like this all the time. I am now clean 5 months after 2.5 year addiction, and it has indeed changed me permanently. When it comes to things like confidence and quick-wittedness, I think it's more that taking the drug made me aware that I was capable of these things rather than actually physiologically changing me. However, regarding changes that brought on by the drug itself, a long enough addiction can prompt lifelong physical problems. It definitely doesn't happen to everyone, but I walked away from speed with a chronic anxiety problem, the symptoms of which include frequent psychosis and panic attacks.
Now, so why do we keep hearing sad stories like this?
And we hear them all the time.
Right. So why don't we talk a little bit of brain chemistry and see if we can't make some sense of what can happen when someone abuses drugs.
Okay. Now, the National Institute on Drug Abuse puts things quite plainly, and I really love the way they put this because it's very easy to understand and read. The brain is the command center of your body. It controls just about everything you do, even when you're sleeping.
Weighing about 3 pounds, the brain is made up of many parts that all work together as a team. Each of these different parts has a specific and important job to do.
Now, see, when the drugs enter the brain, they interrupt that work. Okay, they actually change how the brain performs its jobs. Now, these changes are what lead to compulsive drug use or addictions. Now, drugs of abuse affect three primary areas of the brain.
So we'll start, number one, the brain stem. It's in charge of all the functions our body needs to stay alive.
So that's a pretty important.
Absolutely.
All the functions that your body needs to stay alive.
So it keeps our heart beating
and
all that
kind of stuff.
Then we have the limbic system, and it links together a bunch of brain structures that control our emotional responses.
Okay, that's important.
And then lastly, we have the cerebral cortex, in which there is a part of the brain called the frontal cortex. It is the thinking center. It powers our ability to think, plan, solve problems, and make decisions.
So, when we take drugs, we mess with our vitals, we mess with our emotions, and we mess with our ability to think, plan, and solve problems.
Wow.
By the way, does the devil like to mess with our vitals? Does the devil like to mess with our emotions? And does he like to mess with our ability to think and plan and solve problems?
He does.
So what do drugs do to the brain? Drugs are chemicals. They work in the brain by tapping into its communication system and interfering with the way nerve cells normally send, receive, and process information. Different drugs, because of their chemical structure, work differently. Now, here's the amazing point.
Right. In fact, some drugs can change the brain in ways that last long after the person has stopped taking the drugs, maybe even permanently. This is more likely when a drug is taken repeatedly.
So why? You say why? Because, like, let's look at a drug like marijuana, or maybe marijuana and heroin. They activate nerves because their chemical structure mimics that of a natural neurotransmitter. In fact, these drugs can fool receptors and then lock into them, and they can activate the nerve cells. The problem is they don't work the same as a natural neurotransmitter. So the neurons wind up sending abnormal messages to the brain. Now, I read this information and I thought, that's exactly what the devil does. He imitates Christ and fools the person receiving the message. That's called deception. See, inside your brain, drugs can deceive your brain, and in reality, the devil deceives us. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, notice what the Bible says. It says, "For if the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the evil god of this world." Who's the evil god of this world?
That's the devil.
That's the devil. Their minds have been kept in the dark. Why? Because he tells lies.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps them from seeing light shining on them. The light that comes from the good news about the glory of Christ, who is in the exact likeness of God. So who is Christ in the exact likeness of?
God.
But who wants to be God? The devil.
Devil does.
So what does the devil do? He messes up the communication between us and God. What do drugs do inside the brain? It's a microcosm of what the devil does to us in reality. He mimics, he impersonates, he creates confusion, he interrupts the communication between us and God. We have Christ, he's the true messenger, and the devil is the false messenger. And it's just like that in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Christ brings the truth, the peace, the clarity, the rest, and the devil brings lies, anxiety, fearfulness, confusion, and unrest. And that's what the whole thing is all about, and that's why the personality changes. See, he interrupts the natural flow of things by mm-hmm. creating confusion inside your brain. And in reality, he interrupts the natural flow of what Christ is trying to do in your life by confusing you and interrupting that message between
right.
God. So we have to be able to recognize that imposter.
We have to recognize who's in our mind, because the Bible tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus."
Exactly.
So who are we letting into our mind?
Right. And see, can the devil change your personality?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there you go. See, so you have the exact same thing going on.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at some other drugs and their results, such as methamphetamine and how they cause nerve cells to release excessive amounts of natural neurotransmitters or prevent the normal recycling of these brain chemicals, such as cocaine and amphetamine. This leads to an exaggerated message in the brain, ultimately wreaking havoc on the communication channels. The difference in effect is like the difference between someone whispering in your ear versus someone shouting in a microphone.
Wow. You know, I was thinking today as I was driving on the freeway, and I was thinking about neurotransmitters and stuff, and the freeway is going along nice and even and orderly and everything, and I thought, I wonder what it's like in your brain when all of this either methamphetamine or whatever comes in. Would it be like just a bunch of cars coming on the freeway and interrupting the natural flow of things?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when the devil creates that confusion? Because he's also created confusion in this manner, over-flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of good information out there
yes,
now?
Yes, there is.
But sometimes it can be complicated, right? I mean, you get words like justification, sanctification, glorification, propitiation, expiation, all of these wonderful terms, but what happens when we get flooded out with them?
Right.
I mean, it's like drinking out of a fire hydrant, right? And pretty soon you go, man, I'm getting confused. Mm-hmm. And so the devil can confuse us that way too.
Right.
Is that how Jesus taught? Christ reached the people where they were. He presented the plain truth to their minds in the most forcible, simple language. The humble, the poor, the most unlearned could comprehend through faith in him the most exalted truths. No one needed to consult the learned doctors as to his meaning. He did not perplex the ignorant with mysterious inferences or use unaccustomed and learned words. The greatest teacher the world has ever known was the most definite, simple, and practical in his instruction. I mean, I think of some of them parables,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who they're about. The simplest ones, I mean, the prodigal son, and I put myself in the prodigal son's place. But man, think about that father.
Right.
Who was looking down the driveway for him. They're so simple, you know, the lost coin and, you know, the lost sheep. And you just go on, and it tells a story about how good God is and how far he's willing to go for us. See, the devil creates confusion in our brains and can change our characters and personalities. The devil is in the business of creating confusion. And by doing so, he wants to change your character and personality. Jesus is in the business of clearing that confusion up. And by doing so, change your character and personality back to what he really originally wanted it to be. So what does it mean to surrender to Jesus? Because if we do, we will have right thoughts. But how do you give yourself to Jesus? Is there a recipe for it?
I don't think there's a recipe for it. Is there?
Is he wanting us to give ourselves to him?
Yes.
What's the easy thing to do? Is the easy thing to give ourselves to the devil or give ourselves... What is really easy?
Well, the easy thing has to be to give ourselves to him.
To Christ.
Right.
Right. But see, the devil, once again, creates confusion.
And says it's hard.
It says, oh, that's a hard life. And then he creates confusion because he says, you've done too many wrong things. God doesn't love you.
And then you've got to give up all kinds of things.
You've
got to
give all kinds of wonderful things up that you hate, you know. And also, he tells you that God is just there waiting to nail you.
Right.
That you are a bad person. And he tells all... The gospel is good news.
It is.
And if you doubt the gospel, think of what God was willing to do for you to win you back. Mm-hmm. See, and so if we do surrender to Jesus, like we opened the program with, we will have right thoughts. And that's what he wants us to do, to have right thoughts. And when we have the right thoughts, we will make right choices. Of course, right choices lead to right actions. Right actions lead to right habits. And right habits form a right character. So, as we wrap this up today, and as we've learned that drugs will change your personality, but also by following the devil without drugs, he will change your personality. And they use the same concept. Drugs will mimic the actual real transmitters in your brain. They're imposters, they're fakes, and they create confusion. And the devil is the same way. He will create confusion by mimicking and saying that God said this and God said that, and he'll create confusion in your life. And the gospel, then he'll say, oh, it's good news for everybody but you.
Right.
You know, has he told you that before?
Absolutely.
That you've done too many bad things in your life?
Mm-hmm.
He's told me that before, you know. And you know, the sad part is about it is a lot of these people that get off of drugs are trying to come to Christ. But they're depressed, and one of the reasons they're depressed is because of the devil continues with those confusing messages in their brain, even once they're off drugs.
That's right, and so we always go to look and see what God's Word says about who you are.
That's right. So what are we going to talk about next time? Next time, I think what we'll talk about is what is worse, substance or behavioral addiction? Shall we talk about that? I think that would be good.
Sure.
I mean, what we talked about right now is very similar. So remember, folks, there's only two ways to live your life. One is like nothing is a miracle. The other is like everything is a miracle. And you have the freedom to choose.
for listening to Freedom to Choose. There truly is hope for anyone whose life is in captivity and being overrun with the devastation of addiction. Rich and Susan are living testimonials and have created a 7-step biblically based handbook and a recovery workbook to move those you love toward freedom. If you'd like to order the Addiction Recovery Workbook for someone you know, or if you're a member of a church and you'd like to create a ministry in the area of addiction, Rich and Susan can help you get started. Please call Rich and Susan at 916-645-1297 or go to www.justasiamministries.com. As a nonprofit, they are blessed by people like you. 916-645-1297 or www.justasiamministries.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.